What did we get up to?
308.
Last week's shear isn't even posted yet. Not a problem. We haven't started. We're just starting now. All right. If I'm not mistaken, our last discussion was about Yiftach and his lineage. Does that sound vaguely familiar? Yiftach, who was he? Ben Isha Acheret, Ben Isha Zana. Does that at all sound familiar?
Yes.
Yes? You have notes.
Yes.
All right. Which brings us to, what I wanted to focus on today was the conversation between Yiftach and the Ziknei Gilad. It's a conversation which I think is critical to understand what transpires as time, as the story unfolds, and the dynamic of Yiftach's relationship with the people that he ultimately ends up leading. So just to recap, Yiftach is the son of Gilad with a questionable status as to his mother's relationship and status in the family. One pasuk calls him Ben Isha Zana, the other pasuk calls him Ben Isha Acheret. Question of who exactly was Yiftach's mother, ultimately leading to a conflict with the other children, the children of the Eshet Gilad, and a conflict which leads to exiling, expelling Yiftach from the family, sending him off years earlier to Eretz Tov, where he sits and gathers around him Anashim Rekim, a band of some kind of group of followers. Anashim Rekim, a phrase we saw before by Avimelech, if you remember. Anashim Rekim Ufachazim, idle, hasty, angry, evil band of merry men that followed Avimelech around. And we had suggested that the group in question actually is probably closer to the parallel to David HaMelech, who also had a group of people who followed him. If you remember in the context of this beginning of Sefer Shmuel, the end of Shmuel Bet, Perek Bet, it says, "Vayikabtzu elav kol ish matzok, v'chol ish asher lo nosheh, v'chol ish mar nefesh." David gathered around him people of distress, people of who had debts, people who were embittered, people who had no parnasa left, and they became his group. Vayhi alehem lesar, he was their chief over them. And there the pasuk says, Vayu imo kerba meot ish. He had a band of approximately 400 people. Actually, let me give this out now so you have it. Most of this we'll get to a little bit later in the shir, but might as well take it now. It also gives you the cross reference to the two psukim of the Gedud. The parallel, I think, is also a parallel, interestingly enough. We talk about David HaMelech and his 400. Conversation second, but I'm not sure why. But anyway, we talk about David HaMelech with a band of 400 men, that in itself should sound vaguely familiar to us. Yes? No? Anybody?
Yes.
Out there? Are we awake? We whip, we focused, we hear.
Barely. We're here.
We're here. In body, but not mind.
Not by me, I don't know. There was a lot of drinking going on, but not.
A lot of food.
Are we okay? Is everybody with me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We need to hear from you.
All right, so.
I'm first.
Shmuel's band of 400 men parallel to Yiftach, parallel to Avimelech. We have three patterns of this kind of grouping of Anashim, and two of them are described as Anashim Rekim. There's another group that I think follows a similar pattern that also is 400. And here, David HaMelech, the band of 400 men, suddenly there's an association that goes off.
Four hundred men.
Gideon had 300 soldiers, and I would not describe them as a band or as a group of followers. But it was a good guess. 400 men. Who had 400 men?
Abraham?
No, but at least we're getting closer in the right safer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who had 400 soldiers?
David.
Abimelech? No.
The only other place that mentions specifically 400.
No, it was earlier. It was in.
It's Abraham, if you like.
Yeah, it's in somewhere in Bereshit. Did Esau have 400 men?
Now we're getting closer. Vayashuvu amalachim al Yaakov leimor banu el achicha el Esav vegam holech litratcha ve'arba meot ish imo.
Yaakov and Esav.
Esav comes to greet Yaakov with a band of 400 men. Esav is also a hunter, also exiled from his land, also nomadic in style. The trend of these individuals who were hunters, warriors, fighters, who are essentially a culture that develops in an agricultural society for those who don't have agriculture, they don't have land. So instead of developing into farmers, they become nomadic and they have to live by the sword. They end up living by the sword. That's exactly how David HaMelech lived for all those years in exile, by the sword.
But Esav wasn't exile, was he?
Well, it's not. Well, wasn't he? In a sense, he is, because the land is given to Yaakov. Esav is a hunter, and he's told, "V'achabachat tichyeh, you'll live by the sword."
Wasn't that his land?
Okay, fair enough. Later on, maybe he has a territory of land, but I still think he has a certain. There's enough parallels from culture and style between Esav and David in this regard. There's a lot of parallels between Esav and David.
The red hair.
The red hair, Atmoni, the hunter, the 400. The Tov and the Ra. There's a lot of parallels between the.
Never would have put them together.
The passion, the character traits are very similar, and that's a whole discussion to itself. But yes, there are a lot of parallels. But I think that just a further example of what this band of followers represents, not necessarily the kind of evil that Avimelech used them for, but still you have this notion of an individual around whom landless, homeless, powerful, around whom a band of similarly Anashim Rekim, these kinds of people would gather and ultimately follow. And that is the group that Yiftach has at his disposal and is most, and his reputation develops from. All right, that brings us to the conversation between Yiftach and Ziknei Gilad, which is the primary subject of our discussion today. Pasuk Dalet. Vayim yamim ve'ilachamu b'nei Amon im Yisrael. The forces of Amon are at war with Israel. Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Dalet. Vayi kasher nilchamu b'nei Amon im Yisrael v'yachu ziknei Gilad. ויחו זקני גלעד לקחת את יפתח מארץ טוב.
Well.
They go and in the elders of Gilad go and invite Yiftach to come back from his exile in Eretz Tov and hopefully engage with Bnei Amma. Vayimuli Yiftach lecha v'italana lekatzin. They said to Yiftach, come, be our captain. V'ni lachama b'Bnei Amma. So we can fight Bnei Amma. Vayomi Yiftach lezikne Gilad. Yiftach's initial reaction is one of anger, frustration. Rejected, now you come crawling to me. And he responds harshly, Halo atem snetemoti, tatagashunim ibet avi. You despised me, you expelled me. Madua batem elai atak asher tzailachem. Now suddenly you're in a little bit of trouble, you come crawling. Vayamruzik negilada yiftach, lachen ata shavnu elecha, vialachte imanu vinilchamta bivne amon. Now we have come to you, return to you. Come with us, fight against Bnei Amon. Ve'itelano l'rosh l'choyosh ve'gilad. And you will be our leader of all of the people of Gilad. Essentially repeating the request that they had just offered him, correct? They just offered him, come, be our captain, be our leader, come fight at Amon. He got angry at them. So they repeated the request, now we have come to you to come and fight Amon and be our leader. Vayomer Yiftach hazikne Gilad, second time Yiftach responds, and he says, Im meshivim oti, atem oti lehi lechem b'vnei Amon, if you are returning me to fight against Bnei Amon, then v'natan Hashem b'atam l'fanai, and God will give them into my hands, anochi ayeh lechem l'rosh, I agree, I will be happy to do so, and I will be your leader. And everybody will live happily ever after. Vayamuzik negilad al-Yiftach, Hashem yiyeh shamea benoteinu im lo kidvarcha ken naaseh. God is our witness. God will listen. Bear testimony. We will do as you say. And Yiftach agrees. He says, what goes with them? Vayelach Yiftach imzik negilad. And everybody seems so happy. And they're all together. And they come back holding arms. Vayasimu ha'am oto alehem l'rosh l'katzin. They appoint him as their leader and as their captain. Vayedaber Yiftach et kol dvarav lifnei Hashem b'mitzpah. Yiftach spoke his words before God in Mitzpah. Mitzpah, of course, is where the camp of Israel is waiting. If you go back to the end of Perek Yud, the story began when it said, "Vayitzaku bnei Amon ve'achnu baGilad, ve'yasu bnei Yisrael ve'achnu baMitzpah." Bnei Amon is in Gilad, bnei Yisrael are in Mitzpah, and Yiftach comes back to that. The question is obvious, namely, what happened in this dialogue? What's the problem in this dialogue?
Yeah, what's in it for him?
What's in it for him? Yeah. He caves.
Mm-hmm. Very quickly.
There's something about power in there.
Right? There's something about about leadership, no question. But he caves in incredibly quickly. Especially given the nature of his initial response. The anger. The frustration. This is years in the making. You come crawling to me now. Where were you all these years? You hated me. You despised me. You exiled me. You threw me out. And now you come crawling because you're in trouble with Bnei Amon. And what do they say to him? We've come to call you back from exile to fight us, to fight against Bnei Amon. Oh, if that's the case, well, everything's different. I'll be happy to be your friend again. you have to wonder about a conversation that's repeated three times. The dialogue here is divided into three parts, and it's repeated. First, they come to make the initial request. Come fight against Amon. Yiftach responds with anger, part one. Part two, they repeat the request. Vayamuzik negilad al-Yiftach, lachen ata shavnu elecha ve'alachta imanu v'ni lachamta b'vnei Amon. Now we have come to return you from the exile. Come back with us. Fight against Amon. Oh, sure, not a problem. Im shivim otim oti leilachem b'nei Ammon. If you are returning me, if you are inviting me back from exile to fight against Ammon, so fine, isn't it? I'll be happy to do it. That's part two. Then part three, Pasuk Yud, the elders repeat and say, Ye Hashem yiyeh shamea benotenu. God will be
a witness.
God will hear. God will take the language of an oath. And that isn't enough. Because then it says that Vayiftach goes with them, Vayelech Yiftachim Ziknei Gilad, and they make him their leader. Vayidaber Yiftach et kol dvarav lifnei Hashem b'mitzpah. Yiftach repeats this whole conversation before God in Mitzpah. What before God in Mitzpah means we're going to discuss a little bit later. But this phrase itself is very strange. Lifnei Hashem b'mitzpah.
B'mitzpah.
We're going to talk about where Mitzpah is in a moment. If you turn the page over, you'll see there's a map, but don't do it yet. Right. Tempting, right? So I have this very strange conversation that's taking place between Yiftach and Ziknei Gilad that seems to be repeated as if there's something's giving, something's changing, something's dramatic. What is it that Yiftach wants that they give in to, that he repeats, that they take an oath to, that they, then he comes back and he repeats it again at Mitzpah? In the end, they invited him back to come and be their leader and fight this battle. That's the tension. The Psukim create this kind of back and forth tension between where Yiftach is at, where the Ziknei Gilad are at, and what is and what their goal is. So if you start to look at the Mefarshim we're very in tune to the problem. And they offer various attempts at a solution to this, to the address. What is it that Yiftach demanded in the second part of this conversation that the Ziknei Gilad gave into that changed the dynamic of the relationship? You understand the problem? I know it's early.
No, it doesn't sound like it's changing. It sounds like it's repeating. But
correct.
Obviously,
and that's the changed. And that's the issue. It sounds like a repeat, and the question is, what is it that is changing, even so slightly, in the request? So on the page, what I've tried to do for you is, the first part of this source page is just a chart with the text itself. So between Pasuk Vav and Pasuk Yud Aleph, simply a copy, verbatim, of the text from the Tanakh that we just read. V'imuli Yiftach, but I've separated it by who's speaking when. You can just give you a visual sense of the conversation. V'yomeli Yiftach, lecha v'yita lanu lekatzin min lachama b'vnei Ammon. Come fight us against Ammon for us. V'yomeli Yiftach lezikne Gilad, why did you come back to me? You hate me. That's part one. The offer, the refusal. Part two, the negotiation. Vayomer zikne gilad al yiftach, lachein ata shavnu elech velach demana benin lachamta bevnei amon veitolana lorosh tochoy yeshve gilad. They offer him something here. Come back. Return you from exile. Shavnu elecha. Oh, if that's the case, we've got a new equation. What's the new equation?
It's going back,
that they've been called from exile, although that I would have imagined would have been implied in the initial offer from the outset. In other words, it's Pasuk Vav. Lecha v'yita lanu lekatzin min lachama b'vnei Ammon. To Pasuk Chet, that I think is the critical comparison.
He used the word lachen as if something were said in between.
They used the word lachen.
Right, as if something had been said between.
Lachen can mean, lachen is a term that is somewhat analogous to omnam or aval. which has multiple meanings, but it can be simply a function of indeed.
Well, they're responding to his response.
Right, but
it can mean therefore.
Okay, something happened, therefore. You know,
it can be translated as therefore, but it can also simply be translated as indeed. You can start a conversation with the word lachen, you can start a conversation in Hebrew, you can start a sentence with the word aval. You can't in English. But in Hebrew you can, because the word aval has two meanings. It means but it also means indeed. And the most famous example of the use of the word aval as, not as the word but, as in a negation, but as indeed, as an acknowledgement, exact opposite meaning, by the way, is by Yosef's brothers. When immediately after the incarceration, or the accusation that they are spies and the incarceration of Shimon, the brothers turn to each other, and the first words out of their mouths is, Aval Ashemim Anachnu. Right? There's no prior sentence there. It's just aval ashemim anachnu, meaning we are guilty. So you can do the same thing with the word lachem. Indeed, it's acknowledgement. It doesn't have to necessarily, but I agree with you. There's something here that we need to figure out. So let's take a look first at let's call it the traditional approach, or the source number one, which is Mitzudat David. Im Meshivim, on Pasuk Tet, which is Yiftach's negotiation, he says, if indeed this is what you're prepared to do, the question is, what is it? Rutzono lomar, im yugmar hadavar, if this is agreed, ve'elech l'milchama, and I will go to war with you, v'natan Hashem, and God will give them into my hands, az anochi me'atzmi yeyelechem l'rosh mitzad adin, then I would automatically be your leader. If I were to go with you, and I were to lead you into battle, and I would be victorious in the battlefield, then you haven't said anything special to me by saying that you will offer me to be your leader. I would automatically be your leader. Mitzad adin. What's the definition of a shofet? What essentially is the criteria for the leadership role of a shofet?
He's successful,
he leads him into battle, he's victorious, etc. And then he leads the people. He judged Israel for 40 years, post the battle. V'chano lomar, adayin ein ze hachna'a v'chiba. This is nothing special. You haven't shown or demonstrated to me any kind of enhanced expression of affection or of embrace or endearment. Remember that they exiled him. So he's expecting them, if they want to come crawling, they've got to offer him something that is different than what they would necessarily give to anybody else. Certainly, if I'm defeated, you're not going to make me your leader. And if I am victorious, then I'm automatically entitled to be your leader. Therefore, what is he requested of them? Says the Radak, or the Mitzudot David, Ke'ilu Amar, Lochein ki im miyad kodem hamilchama tamshilu oti. He says, no, it doesn't work that way. You want to demonstrate that you've forgiven me, that you've invited me back, that you've acknowledged my role, that you've pardoned my quote unquote sins, then you appoint me as your leader now, before the battle. And in fact, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says that Yiftach went with the Ziknei Gilad, Vayasimu ha'am oto aleihem l'rosh l'katzin. Says the Mitzudot, Miyad asuhu l'rosh, terem tzeitam l'muchama. In other words, when the Ziknei Gilad come to Yiftach, according to the Mitzvot David, the issue is a time frame. When the Ziknei Gilad come to Yiftach initially, what did they say to him? They said, "Come, hayit lanu lekatzinu nechama b'bnei Amon. Come, lead us in battle." Yiftach responds and he gets angry and he says, "No, why did you come to me?" So the Ziknei Gilad, they qualify and they clarify. They say, "Lachen atashavnu alecha v'alachtem adam v'nilchamta b'bnei Amon. Come fight this war with us." And if you're victorious, you can be the head of everybody, the whole Gilad. This is a great opportunity for you, Yiftach, they said to him. An opportunity to come, lead us in battle, show us what you're worth, prove your capability, and the result will be that you not only return from exile, but you'll be our leader. Vayoma Yiftach Ziknei Gilad and Pasuk Tet, Im shivim otem oti lehilachem b'vnei Amon v'natan Hashem otam lefanai anuchi eyelachem l'rosh. If I come back with you and I fight with you and I'm victorious, then I would automatically be your leader. Anuchi eyelachem l'rosh. I would be your leader anyway. What have you offered me? And here's where the Mitzvot of his interpretation weakens. The third response is, Hashem yeh shomea benotenu im lo kidvarcha kenaaseh. We'll do as you say. What do you say? It's not what you say, it's what you implied. Right, what are you implying?
But you're not giving me any bargains here.
Right, therefore, what is he implying that he wants?
He wants leadership
before the battle begins. Correct. So although it's not stated, right, that's the piece you have to add to the story. He implies it. So the Ziknei Gilad responded and said, okay, so be it. Kidvarcha. Then it gets stated in Pasuk Gid Aleph. Vayelech Yiftach im Ziknei Gilad, vayesimu ha'am oto alehem l'rosh u'l'katzin. The appointment of leadership comes at the beginning, and then they go out to wage the war. If you now work through the pieces of the story of Yiftach, at least according to the Mitzvot David, then the parallel story to Yiftach, strikingly enough, is the story of Avimelech. We've already seen the Anashim Rekim, his band of followers, Anashim Rekim u'Pochazim. We have the parallel of Yichus. Avimelech is the son of a Pilegesh, and Yiftach is the son of an Isha Acheret or a Zona, which according to some interpretation that we ended up with or concluded with last week was the son of a Pilegesh. Both have a certain secondary status in the family, exiled or separated from the rest of their brothers, responding to that separation harshly. And just to add the last piece to the comparison, says the Mitzvot David, Yiftach is power hungry, like Avimelech. And he wants that power, he wants that leadership. And they said that they came to him and they offered it to him, but they offered it to him only if he
succeeded,
if he proved himself. And he said to them, no, you give it to me now. Like Esav. I want it now. And the striking parallel between Yiftach and Avimelech, which, of course, I think would leave a somewhat sour taste in our mouth. That's one possibility. The strength in the Pshat of Mitzvot David is in its parallel between Avimelech and Yiftach and Dafka, how it fits into the rest of the story. Its weakness, on the other hand, is that it has to imply in the text something which is not explicit. It has to imply a time frame in the conversation or a discussion of timing in the conversation which is not explicit in the text. So from a pshat point of view, it is it has a weakness as a possibility. There's another possibility, however, and that's what I wanted to share with you. The other possibility, I think, changes a little bit of the dynamic of the conversation between Yiftach and the Zikne Gilad, which puts Yiftach in a slightly better or more positive light. Let's go back to the conversation for a minute. And I'll ask you a simple question. Is the offer that the Zkenim make to Yiftach in Pasuk Vav the same as the offer that they make to Yiftach in Pasuk Chet? We're assuming, up until now, by fair assumption, that they seem to repeat the request, or they repeat the offer. So let's take a good look at that. Is the offer that they make to Yiftach in Pasuk Vav the same as the offer that they make to him in Pasuk Chet?
No.
What's different?
First one is
katzin,
and the second one is
l'rosh l'chol ha'yoshvei gilad. Correct. First is a l'cha v'ayit lanu l'katzin, v'ni l'chama come and be our captain, and we will... l'cha v'ayit lanu l'katzin, come and be our captain that we may go to war.
So it's like a mercenary.
More than a mercenary. I'll show you we'll talk about what a katzin is in a moment. More than a mercenary. But it's not necessarily the same as L'Rosh L'Chol Yoshvei Gilad. Wherein lies the difference between the offer in Pasuk Vav and the offer in Pasuk Chet? Lecha v'yita lanu l'katzin v'nilachama b'vnei Amon versus halachta imanu v'nilachamta b'vnei Amon v'yita lanu l'rosh. Notice also the sequence. Katzin v'nilachama nilachama v'yita lanu l'rosh.
One is just for the war and the other is for post-war.
Correct. One is a military position and the other is a political one. A katzin in modern Hebrew is a captain.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Pretty much analogous to its use here. It's a military position. Come be our katzin. Come fight our battle. Come be our general. And Yiftach throws them out. He says, you exiled me, you despised me, you didn't want me. So they change course. They change tactics. And they said, Lecha, v'yitalanu, v'hinilachamta b'vnei Amon, v'yitalanu, l'rosh. It goes one step further. Even. Actually, before we do that, let's take a look at Yiftach's response. What's Yiftach's response? Pasuk Tet. Vayomer Yiftach el Zikne Gilad. Im mishivim otem otili lachem bivne Amon. If you are returning me from exile to fight against Amon, v'natan Hashem otam lefanai, and God will give them into my hands. Anochi ehye lachem. In other words, he says, I
automatically become.
No, that's the Mitzvah, that's David's interpretation, but we're assuming now, forgetting the automatic and the question of where the sequence is, but the offer initially was different than the offer in the second box. Initially, the offer was, V'italanu l'katzin, Yiftach rejects it. What I'm suggesting to you is that in Pasuk Chet, it's not just a function of the timing, it's also a function of the offer. They've changed the terms. They've now suggested, instead of Vayitalanu l'katzin, they've now said Vayitalanu l'rosh. L'chol yoshvei gilad. It's a political leadership, role of leadership. To which Yiftach responds and says, fine, if I go and fight your war, Anochi eyeh lachem lerosh. Meaning? No, that's the mitzvah. Don't confuse the two interpretations, right? It's not a function, that's a given. He says, in English we would say, I accept. I accept your terms. That's the issue. Is that in the second iteration, he's accepted their terms. He said, fine, if that's what you're prepared to do, if you're prepared to take me back, to bring me back, to fight this battle, I'm prepared to be your leader. I'm prepared to step into those shoes. That's what you've offered. That's what I'm prepared to take. And then they go through stage three. Stage three requires a little bit more explanation. What's the dialogue about the oath? What happened there? Why do I need an oath for that? There was a negotiation and there was an agreement. Why do I need stage three? Where the Zikne Gilad said, Hashem yeh shomea benotenu. God will be our witness. God will testify. We take an oath to this effect. Why do they need an oath?
He doesn't trust them.
Why doesn't he trust them?
Because
they already threw him out last time he was with them. After he wins the battle for them, they can throw him out again.
That may be why he doesn't trust them. But I think there's a more immediate and acute reason why he doesn't trust them. Go back to the end of Perek Yud. This conversation actually begins at the last pasuk of Perek Yud. Pasuk Yud Chet. When they're sitting and they're being attacked by Bnei Amon and they are leaderless and they don't know what to do, and they turn one to another and they said, Mi ha'ish asher yachel lihilachem b'vnei Amon, yiyeh l'rosh l'cho yoshvei Gilad. Who is the man who will come and fight against Bnei Amon? He will be the rosh to all, the head of all of the people of Gilad. That offer was made in Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Chet. Open parentheses. Background on Yiftach. Remember that it's a parenthetical pause. So you have to read in the sequence of the story from Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Chet, Hu yiyeh l'rosh l'chol yoshvei Gilad, back to Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Dalet, Vahim yamim v'yilachamu, in the middle of the war, and when there was nobody there, Vayalchu zikne Gilad lakachat at Yiftach me'eretz Tov, they went to Eretz Tov to take Yiftach, and they said to him, Lecha v'hit lanu lekatzin. Now you understand the issue. That's duplicity.
They changed
their minds. In other words, they were prepared to say, whoever will lead us in this battle, Yelan al-Rosh, we'll make him our leader. Nobody answered the call. And everybody's standing and looking around at each other and saying, what about Yiftach? I don't want to go to Yiftach. You want to go to Yiftach? I'm not going to Yiftach. Call back to Yiftach. Yiftach is sitting in exile. We threw him out. He's going to come back to us. Wait a second. But if we go to Yiftach, we just made an offer that whoever leads us in battle is going to be our leader. We're going to get stuck with Yiftach. You want Yiftach as a leader? I don't want Yiftach as a leader. Let's vote on it. Let's have a committee. Let's have a discussion. Let's figure this out. Conclusion. We'll go to Yiftach. Brilliant idea. Let's go to Yiftach. We're talking about the Zikne Gilad, right?
We'll go to Yiftach.
We'll ask him to come back, but we won't tell him that we offered leadership. We'll offer him captaincy.
If he takes it.
And Yiftach turns to them and he says, you bunch of idiots.
How did he know? How did the word travel?
Yiftach's well connected. He's got 400 men. He's well connected.
He knows what's going on.
Yiftach may be exiled, but he's shrewd. He is shrewd.
Yiftach,
Eretz Tov. Eretz Tov is somewhere up there.
So they had to go up and
find they had to go and send a delegation. They come to him and they said, Lecha v'yitlan l'katzin. What's his answer? You hated me, you still hate me. You can't even be honest with me. You can't even offer me what you offered everybody else. V'tekarshuniyat mi betavi. You expelled me. Now today you come crawling when you're in trouble? That I should get you out of trouble? So what, so you can throw me back? Everybody else gets to take the offer that if you lead me into battle, you'd be my rosh. I get to lead you into battle so you can throw me back into exile. Goodbye. As he's slamming the door in their face, they said, Lachain, Ata shavnu alechav. No, Yiftach. Swallow their pride, Yiftach. No, you misunderstood. We really want you. Ve'alachte imanu, come with us. Nilchamta b'vnei Amon. You'll fight with b'nei Amon. They get the words out. Ne'ayitol on the rush. They finally got it out.
Without an apology.
Ve'ayitol on
the rush. And a duress.
Yiftach immediately responds and says, Im mishivimoti. Now we're going to make it conditional. Im mishivimoti. Lilachem b'nei Amon. V'natan Hashem otem lefanai. I'll do this. I'll lead you into battle. I'll be victorious. Anuchi yalachem l'rosh. Then know this. I will be your leader. No longer can you exile me to Eretz Tov. No longer can you say to me, Loti nachalu b'vet avinu. Anuchi yalachem l'rosh. Pasuk Yud, Vayamuzik Negilada Yiftach, Hashem Yiye Shomea Beinotenu Imlo Kidvarcha Kein Naaseh. God will be our witness. Now they take an oath. And they take an oath for good reason. Yiftach insists they take an oath because
to make sure it's really going to happen.
He doesn't trust him.
They've already deceived him once. They've already lied to him once. So he says, I'll do this, but I want an oath. And they make him take an oath. But that's not enough. That's not enough. Because Pasuk Yud Aleph is a complete game changer. What happens in Pasuk Yud Aleph? Vayelech Yiftach, and now you see it. You pull it all together. Vayelech Yiftach im zikne gilad. Yiftach goes with them. Vayasimu ha'am oto alehem lerosh ulekatzin. You see it? He gets. It's very specific. There are two different roles. Lerosh ulekatzin. Katzin goes without saying. That's what he's going to do for them. But Larosh is clear. It's emphatic. It's here, it's now, and it's public.
Well, and it's also not just the Zikne, it's the Am that makes
it's,
him Larosh.
It's public, correct. Vayasimu ha'am oto alehem Larosh. It's public. And Vayedaber Yiftach et kol dvarav lifnei Hashem b'mitzpah. Not only is it in public, it's lifnei Hashem. It's in a public ceremony, acknowledgement, Lifnei Hashem, before God. This is going to lead us directly into our next question, which is, what is Lifnei Hashem? But this is a public declaration. In the Mishkan, in front of the Mizbeach, in front of the Sefer Torah in his hands, in front of the entire people, this is a pardon from the exile. He has now been returned to be their leader and their captain. And of course, be careful what you wish for. As when, if Yiftach is your leader, then Yiftach, with all of his...
They knew they were in trouble.
They knew they were in trouble. Yiftach is not an easy character. Yiftach is not an easy character. Yiftach has a reputation. Imagine, for a moment, if we want to just continue the analogy to Esav. Imagine for a moment if there's Esav with his gedud of 400 men and Yaakov facing a challenge of an oncoming army turns to Esav and he says, okay, Esav, come and fight. Come and be my leader and fight for me. Mm-hmm. Right? You've got the band, you've got the army, you come and fight for me. Understand the price that such an appointment would carry with it. And Yiftach's been exiled. Yiftach is a warrior. Yiftach is a ruffian. He's a uncouth and uncultured is certain that goes without saying. When we get to the second half of Yiftach, the story of the child of the sacrifice of his daughter, and the story of the slaughter of Bnei Ephraim, 42,000 the Israelites who slaughtered because they dared say to Yiftach, no. You know, Yiftach is complicated.
He's pretty sure of himself here.
He's very sure of himself. He's very angry. And he's going to make sure that he gets
what he gets
the position that he... it's more than what he wants. To a certain extent, from Yiftach's perspective, it's what he's entitled to. Exactly right. It's no more than anybody else was offered. Remember that it's the Ziknei Gilad who make the offer first, that whoever leads them in battle will be our Rosh. All Yiftach has said to them is, how dare you offer me less than anybody else? And I think that's the profound difference between this interpretation and that of the Mitzvot David, the first interpretation we saw. Whereas in the first interpretation, he's power hungry. He wants leadership and he wants it now. In this interpretation, it's not power that he wants. It's exoneration. It's to be restored to his rightful place as a leader amongst the people, son of Gilad, who was exiled unjustifiably, in his opinion. They offered leadership to whoever would be the warrior to get them out of battle, like every other shofet in shofet history. He'll do it. He knows he can. And he knows that this is what he's entitled to. And why should he be treated like a second-class citizen? So it comes back to the yichus issue with which the story begins. That parenthesis about his yichus, I think, is the key piece to it. Yiftach feels, maybe they say mekupach, he feels discriminated against. And he wants exoneration and he wants what he's entitled to.
Is there anything in the beginning of the story that indicates that he should be discriminating? In other words, there's nothing revealed in the beginning about his character that would lead us to believe that he should have been treated in that way by his...
No, on the contrary, the treatment was not because of his character. The treatment, at least in the text, is because of his yichus, which makes it, right? And then it becomes a function of which interpretation you take on the yichus question as to whether or not they were justified.
But that's, even if they were justified in terms of the either the societal or halachic issues, he himself, there's no character flaw that's implied in that opening.
No, there's no character flaw implied in the opening passage at all. On the contrary, what you get a sense, I think the sense that the Navi wants us to come away with at this part of the story is sympathy for Yiftach. Again, it's a function of how you put these pieces together, but certainly if you take an approach that looks at the definition of Ben Isha Zonah as a function of either the son of a Pilegesh or the son of a woman from a different tribe, then Yiftach's Yichus status is unfair treatment. His exile is certainly unfair treatment. And then when they finally come back crawling to him on their elbows and knees, they're not done with treating him unfairly. Then they offer him a second-class role and less than they offered anybody else. So by the time we finish the introduction, it would seem that all our sympathies lie with Yiftach. I don't think that's an accident. I think that's intentional because at this point there really isn't anything to indicate that Yiftach should be any different than anybody else. We know the end of the story, but is that fair? Is that fair to prejudge him on the basis of what ends up happening later? So there's certainly, let's call it nekudot zchut, there's certainly points in his favor. In the overall judgment of Yiftach, Chazal were incredibly critical of Yiftach. They're more critical of Yiftach than any other shofet in Sefer Shoftim, and probably in, can't say Tanakh, because there were kings who were worse, but they're certainly enormously critical. They call him exact expression is a gufot shel shikma, the shoot of a sycamore tree, which is a way of Chazal describing somebody who has no particular redeeming quality. Yeah. Contrary to the shoot of the olive tree, which is the phrase they use to describe David HaMelech.
such a leader if he's the root of the sycamore tree?
Why did they want? They had no choice.
They had no choice.
They had no choice. Nobody.
Not the root.
That judgment is also.
Yes, it's a post-judgment, correct. That's based on the story of his daughter and the story of the battle with Ephraim, correct. That is enough. At this point, all we have is the discrimination against Yiftach, the exile, and the invitation to come back, which in itself is tainted. And then we have this mitzvah. Then we have the gathering in Mitzpah. Now, the gathering in Mitzpah is problematic for a different reason. It's a geographic one.
Right.
Because they come to this oath, Lifnei Hashem b'Mitzpah. Lifnei Hashem b'Mitzpah means before God. What's before God in Mitzpah? Before God normally is an expression that denotes, the phrase Lifnei Hashem normally connotes what? The Mishkan, Mikdash, right. Mizbeach, some gathering. Mishkan is not in Mitzpeh.
Right.
Mishkan is in Shiloh.
Yeah.
So where's Lifnei Hashem b'Mitzpeh? This is problematic. So here I'll walk you through this part of the story. It gets a little technical, but I think it actually has a very powerful. Again, I'm going to show you a number of different possibilities. But I think that at least one of the possibilities opens up a whole new vista for us in terms of the story. Who and what is this mitzpeh, and where is it? So first, let's take. I'll collect it in the source pages 2, 3, 4, and 5. Essentially, four different possibilities of identification of mitzpeh.
Are there a lot of different mitzvahs?
That's the question we're going to get to. That's exactly the question we're going to get to. Bear in mind that the word mitzvah appears in this story several times. And I just, on the source page, I've given you all the references to mitzvah in this story. It starts, Vayitzaku b'nei Amon v'yachanu b'gilad v'yasu b'nei Yisrael v'yachanu b'mitzvah. The place where the camp of Israel is encamped, is gathered, is mitzvah. It's called mitzvah. In our pasuk, Vayelech Yiftach, he goes, Vayedaber Yiftach et kol dvarav lifnei Hashem b'mitzvah. He speaks this before God, and that's our mystery question. Then, in the end of Perek Yud Aleph, Vatihah Yiftach Ruach Hashem, in the middle of the battle, Vayavor et Gilad v'et Menashe, Vayavor et Mitzpeh Gilad, u'mimitzpeh Gilad avar b'nei Amon. So the battle is taking place in a place called Mitzpeh Gilad. Is Mitzpeh Gilad the same as Mitzpeh? Question. And then, Vayavo Yiftach HaMitzpah El Beito. Goes home to Mitzpeh. Vinei Bito Yotzet Likvato. And his daughter comes out to meet him. Famous story of Yiftach's daughter. So who and what is this Mitzpeh? And especially this Lifnei Hashem B'Mitzpeh. Lifnei Hashem B'Mitzpeh is problematic. Says the Radak. The Radak offers two interpretations, but the second one we'll start with first. Hatam kemo sheperashti b'sefer Yehoshua, ki hi ha-mitzpeh she-no'adu ha-melachim li-lachem im Yehoshua. The last time we had the word mitzpeh was in Sefer Yehoshua. Technically, it's in Perek Yud Aleph, if you want to take a look. ומפני התשועה הגדולה שהייתה שם היה המנהג בישראל להיקבץ שם because of the great miracle of the victory there. That was the place where Yehoshua led his campaign against the northern alliance of the Canaanite kings together in the area of Mitzpeh. Vayasha Mizbeach. There was an altar. Why was there an altar there? Because there was a minhag to gather together. Everybody would gather together in that place as a place in which great miracles happened. Not that the Mishkan was there, but it's a place of great miracles. Ubeit tefila, place of prayer. Ulotam mitzpeh alchu anshei Gilad demiftach ladaber sham divrehem lifnei Hashem b'mitzpeh. That's where the anshei Gilad went with Yiftach to speak their words before God. In the place of mitzpeh of Sefer Yehoshua. One problem. The geography. Because the mitzvah of Sefer Yehoshua,
is in Ephraim.
No, Mitzpah Sefer Yeshua, Haknani Mimizrach Umiyam Ve'amori Ve'achiti Ve'afrizi Ve'ayvisi Ve'har Ve'achivi Tachat Chermon Be'eretz HaMitzpah.
North.
It was the northern campaign which would put him in the Golan Heights. Which means that sitting here in the Gilad, they'd have to go all the way up to the north in order to get to the Mitzpeh and to Tarchuma. Now, the answer to that is that actually they don't have to go all the way north. They have to stop there on the way back. Because remember that the Ziknei Gilad go out to Eretz Tov to bring Yiftach back from exile. So they're actually journeying back from wherever Eretz Tov is, somewhere out in the east, northeast. So on their way back, they stop at Mitzpeh, and there the Ziknei Gilad take this oath with him at the Mizbeach, and then they come back to Mitzpeh Gilad, which is where the story takes place. Again, though, the problem being that it says that this oath was taken Lifnei Ha'am. Not by this Nifnei Gilad, but with the Am. So that's one possibility. Second possibility. Take a look at source 3, Mitzudat David. Kisham nikpetzu rabim Yisrael. There in Mitzpeh many would gather. V'hashchina shara al rov hatzibor, the Shechina would rest, not because there was a Mishkan there, because there isn't, but because there is a large group of Israel there. V'al shebemitzpeh nitzeach Yehoshua kol ha-melachim. Oh, sorry, that's the same as the Radak. That's not what I was looking for. Sorry, it's the wrong source. The second interpretation is offered by the Mitzvot David, and I don't have by the Radak, and I don't have it. Why don't I have it?
Mitzvot.
V'al mitzpeh shenitzach Yeshua kol malachim neasim alav lachen kavu l'makom kibutz kenik petzui shama pilegish pegiva. Oh yeah, v'chein b'imei Shmuel k'sheim lichet Shaul. That's what I wanted. The last line. V'chein b'imei Shmuel k'sheim lichet Shaul. The coronation ceremony of Shaul HaMelech is also in Mitzpeh. But that's not the Mitzpeh of the Golan Heights. That Mitzpeh is near the hometown of Shmuel, which is called Ramah, which is in Eretz Binyamin. And that's where he makes reference to the story of Pilegesh Begiva. So, according to the Mitzudat David, they go to Eretz Binyamin here, into the area of the Givon, area of Ramah and Geva, north of Yerushalayim, and there in the place of Mitzpeh of Yehoshua, of the coronation of Shmuel, that is where they go to offer, to make this oath. Possibility, another reference to Mitzpeh. The problem there again is we are a handful of kilometers away from Shiloh. They're already going to go to a Mizbeach or a place of gathering. You're right there in Shiloh. Why would you go from the Gilad all the way into Eretz Benjamin and not go to Shiloh, especially when you're right here? And we have a place called Mitzpeh Gilad right here too. Which leads us to the third possibility, which is the other interpretation of the Radak, that the Mitzpeh here is simply the home of Yiftach, which makes sense that it should be in the area of the Gilad, and wherever they gather together, that's where the Shechina is, and that's where they're what's called where they just that's what you would refer to when you say Lifnei Hashem. The makom sheyasham beto, kama shema vayavo yiftach hamitzpeh el beto, uma shema lifnei Hashem kama shema Hashem yeshamei benotenu. Or lifnei Shechina should be Israel, but b'mkom sheyitkabtzu, the Shechina is wherever Israel is, so therefore the Shechina is there. You understand the weakness in all of these interpretations. Lifnei Hashem is a very specific reference that normally means something like either the Mishkan, Mizbeach, the Aron, something that is tangible that is referred to as Lifnei Hashem. We would talk about it in rabbinic terms, taking a Sefer Torah out of the Aron Kodesh and holding it and taking an oath. You need something tangible to be described as Lifnei Hashem in this connotation. Therefore, the suggestion, and it's based on a Ramban. I have 5 minutes left. That should be just great. The suggestion of the Ramban takes us to a completely different place. Where do we find Mitzpeh of Gilad as a place of an oath and a Mizbeach and a place of historically, that should be a place where we would go. So the Ramban takes us to Sefer Breshit. I'll read you one passage, and you'll see it right away. When Yaakov comes back from Lavan's house, in the end of Pashat Vayetze, okay. Yaakov comes back from Lavan's house. Perek Lamed Aleph. Lavan comes running after him, correct? Lavan comes chasing after him. They have all conflict with the story of with the searching through the houses for the trafim, etc. Then they stay overnight. Then they break bread together and they make a pact. Take a look, starting with Pasuk of Aleph. Vayivrachu b'chol ha'shelo, vayakam v'yavor et ha'naha, vayasem et panav har ha'gil'ad. Where is the place where Yaakov and Lavan meet? Har ha'gil'ad. Lavan goes running after him. Skip down now to after the whole conversation. They make a pact. Pasuk Mem Hey. Vayikach Yaakov Evan. Yaakov takes a stone. Vayarimea Matseva. And he makes it into a monument. Vayomar Yaakov Leachav. Liktu Avanim. Vikhu Avanim Vayasu Gal. Vayochlusham Al Hagal. They make this pile of stones, and they eat there the pile of stones. Eating is also a form of a covenant. Vayikralu Lavan Yegar Sahaduta. Lavan gave it its Aramaic name, Yegar Sahaduta, heap of testimony. V'Yaakov Karalo Gal-Ed, or Gil-Ad. Gal-Ed, Gal-Ed, pile of testimony. Vayomer Lavan, Hagal haze ed veni bencha hayom, this pile, testimony, alken karashmo gal ed. Vehamitzpa asher amar yitzef Hashem beni uvenecha. The outpost, the tatzpit, what's a tatzpit in English? Lookout. Right, a peak. That's what a mitzpeh is. It's a peak. Any mountain, any hilltop could be called mitzpeh. That's why every city built in Israel, every yeshua built in Israel on the top of a hill is called mitzpeh. Mitzpeh this, mitzpeh that. Ve'amitzpah asher amar yitzef Hashem beni uvenecha. Let God look out between us. Hashem yeshomea beni uvenechem, said the Ziknei Gilad to Yiftach. Hashem yitzef Hashem beni uvenecha, ki nisater ish mere'eyu. We are separating, we are hidden from each other. Im tanet matai vim tekach nashim et matai en ish imanu ve'ey Elokim ed beni uvenecha. God is our witness this day between us. Vayomer Lavan li Yaakov, hinei agal hazeh, v'hinei ha-matseva ashiyariti beni uvenecha. Ed agal hazeh ve'eda ha-matseva. And the word matseva is a pun, because it's a matseva on a mitzpeh. And he calls it that. Hamitzpah asher amar yitzef Hashem beni ubenecha. Gilad, Gal-Ed, Matseva, mitzvah, or mitzvah. He built a matseva as a testimony to the brit that would set the boundary, the border between Lavan and Yaakov, and that would define the territorial integrity of the land of Israel. That place in Eretz HaGilad for generations symbolized the oath that stood as the contract, the covenant between Yaakov and Lavan that would set in place the boundary and the integrity of Israel. When Yiftach returns from Eretz Tov, which as I said is out there in the land of Lavan, in the land of Mesopotamia, when he returns from Eretz Tov, and they agree to make him their leader, he takes them where? To the Matseva of Mitzpeh, which for the people of Gilad has historically always symbolized the notion of an oath before God. That's what it was set in place for. It was a place in which the oath was taken before God. And there he makes them take a second oath, the oath of loyalty to his leadership. And that's essentially what's alluded to in this last Ramban. Lefi dati shehi ha'even sheikim Yaakov matzeva. This mitzpeh is the stone that Yaakov set as the matzeva. V'nimshach aken k'vashmo ni'gilad. It was anointed, that's why it's called Gilad. V'hamitzpah kara, it's called mitzpah, ki amar tsef Hashem. V'efshar shehu mitzpeh Gilad, shemakom yikra al shem ha'even hazot li'olam. That's Mitzpeh Gilad, and he referenced specifically to Shoftim Perek Yud Aleph. All right, we will stop here, and...